Welcome to Local Matters. Today's topic is Education Matters, and we have a special guest, Shannon Auberson, who is Director of Children's Ministries at First United Methodist Church in Cookeville. Shannon, welcome.
Thank you.
And thanks for being on the program.
Absolutely.
On short notice. I didn't give you much notice about this.
I would do it
this
anytime.
Program. Well, that's great. Well, tell us a little bit about your background. Just some of the listeners may not know you, and so just talk about where you grew up, okay, where you're from, and what you're doing now.
Okay, you may not. Well, maybe you know that now, but we've been talking. I'm from Pickett County. My dad is originally from Pickett County, more like Moodyville area. So when you know, you say Birdstown, people are like, are you from town or Moodyville? And he was in the military for over 20 years and retired and came back. I have four siblings. They are all considered Navy brats. I'm not.
You got the lucky soul.
I think so. Yeah, I'm used to moving and shaking and stuff like that, but they're more so. So they moved back when they were teenagers, almost 20, so it sort of shook up their life from Charleston, South Carolina to Pickett County.
Big change.
Huge change. Grew up there, graduated from Pickett County High School, go Bobcats, and played softball, was a cheerleader, decided that I wanted to come to Tennessee Tech and become
That's a good thing to do.
Yeah. Wings up all the time.
Amen.
And went through the education department, learned how to become a teacher, honed my craft, and got a job in Putnam County School System, have taught for 20 years. And then through that whole process, met my husband, Jeff Auberson, who's from Livingston. He attended Livingston Academy. And we've lived in Cookeville this whole time. We have two children, a son who's 16 and a daughter who's 12.
Wow.
Middle and high school. Those are challenging
Great
years.
Times.
Yeah. They're so good, so wonderful.
Yeah, speaking of educational challenges, those are great times.
Yeah, fun but challenging for sure.
Fun but challenging.
And had the opportunity to take just a leave off a little bit and work for First United Methodist Church to be the Children's and Families Ministry Director. I have a degree in elementary ed, but I also have a degree in a master's in reading and an endorsement in library science. Have lots of experience with child development.
Fits pretty well with what you're doing.
Thanks. So.
The topic today and the topic on these shows is Education Matters, and certainly children's ministry and family ministries, Sunday school in general, is educational. That's where Sunday school got its name. It was an education program on Sundays when the kids didn't work. So tell us about the transition from a public school teacher to a church.
It is a little bit of a transition. I tell everybody that weekly I'm putting a puzzle together and then it's taken back apart and I had to put it all back together. Every month is a little bit different. Our calendar is not so much like the school calendar. It's a year long, literally year long.
Right.
We don't really get a break in the summer and all of our programs and events are year round. And I use a lot of my child development background. I learned from Dr. Ayers and Dr. McGee and Eloise Jackson. So lots of those wonderful.
You had all the classic teachers.
I did. And use a lot of that knowledge to help build sort of like a faith journey, a journey in their faith. And how does that work in their daily life? And, you know, building an interest in learning more about it.
So what age kids do you work with?
So we work with nursery all the way up through sixth grade.
Wow.
It's a large age range of development.
It is a big range of development. There's no question about that. Well, talk a little bit about the main parts of the day and then obviously it doesn't just happen on Sundays. You've got ministry throughout the week too.
Yeah. So I always say my Sunday is my Monday. And so Sunday is actually, you know, a very busy day. I do more than just Sunday school curriculum, which that is a huge push. But I try very hard to create a community and creating events where not just with children, but with their parents so that the parents can have time together and just slow down. if that just means having dinner together, or, you know, we made pizzas one night with our confirmation class, which was a very interesting, just to be able to listen to sixth graders have conversations. That's always fun. Sometimes they have lots of conversations at school, but just sort of a calm, you know, slow down.
Sometimes it's almost a sanctuary, isn't it? It's just a chance to get away from life.
Absolutely, yes. And so I'm just always trying to find different avenues of showing them spiritual disciplines. It doesn't just have to be, you know, reading your Bible and praying, sure, which those are very important. But also developing within them, you know, can I do this as I'm, you know, maybe walking 3 miles? Or can I do this, you know, while I'm making cookies with my friends, you know? Just having those conversations, you know, if they could just come to the table and have a conversation about their spirituality, their faith, you know, questions that, you know, they may not feel comfortable, you know, asking at school, they can come to church and ask those.
And there are a lot of other questions that they may feel comfortable asking you that they would not.
Absolutely.
In a school setting or even in family setting.
I really think sometimes I have to be a friend, but then I also have to be that avenue where they feel comfortable and they can say, you know, hey, what's this, you know, what's this like, or, you know, what do you think about this? So, but I'm still, you know, I have to be that, you know, there's a fine line there.
Yeah, it can go so far and then it's time out. We've got to check that and go to something
else.
Yeah. I guess I understand that, having raised 3 of them. Although I think and a couple of them are almost in their 50s now, and I'm not sure they're finished with the raising yet.
Well, they're still on that growth spectrum.
That's right. I think they think they're raising me at this point, and there's probably some truth to that. Well, tell us a little bit, let's shift back to your background and tell us about your teaching and sort of the schools you were in and some of your experiences as a teacher. I want to spend some time with you on sort of the challenges you see in the school systems today with the challenges children face, and then shift it over to in the church environment, the same thing. This is Local Matters, and we are talking to Shannon Auberson, the director of Children's Ministries, Children and Family Ministries at First United Methodist Church. So tell us a little bit about your teaching background in the public schools.
Okay. So I've been teaching for a little over 20, right at 20 years, roughly. I worked in the after-school program when I was in college through my junior and senior year before graduating and during my student teaching. That really helped get my foot in the door, recognized a little bit. Those were some challenging times, having to be at school by 6, open the doors for kids who are dropped off in the early mornings, and then the after-school program. I've made lots of friends that I'm still really close and dear to now, and so I think that helps. That when I look back, I think that really helps build community if you not just stay in a school system, but you're not at the same school, but maybe within the school system, you really get to know one another. And it builds family. So from there, I taught at All Good Elementary right when the school was, the new school was built,
which
is the middle school now.
Sort of a big launch time
out
there.
So it was a huge transition time for that team. I mean, the All Good Elementary team, very close-knit family. And so a lot of new positions were opened. And so that was a little different being, you know, opened, you know, the door would open and people are a little, you know, oh, who is this person trying to get into our family? You know, just like if a new family member
Absolutely.
Comes in.
Yeah.
And from there, the dynamics of that school changed with economics and stuff because everybody was flooding on that side of the town.
Yep.
So I went to Monterey for 5 years and taught at Elfelman, which was, you know, I love all the schools in Putnam County, but that was the creme de la creme, I guess you would
say. How about that?
That's the hidden gem of Putnam County. That's what I say. I think a lot of people say that. And that was a very similar situation. That family of teachers have been together for a very long time, but they welcomed me with open arms. I think once I explained to them that I was from Pickett County, they let me in. Had a wonderful experience there. Did a lot of small group reading because I have a master's in reading and actually started working on an ELL endorsement because of the demographics up there. Loved that. That was so fulfilling.
ELL, tell everybody what that is.
That used to be called ESL.
Yes, English as a second language.
But now it's ELL, English Language Learner. So it's anybody whose first language isn't English.
Got it.
So truly love that. Tough work, but wonderful work.
And you open eyes. It's just like a different kind of literacy program, isn't it?
If you are a reading specialist and that's your wheelhouse, which that's mine, I mean, it was so fulfilling because they're just eager to learn and ready to learn, and their parents are as well. And just made such long, lifelong friendships with the teachers that I worked with there. And it's just amazing family. And I was sad to leave. But my kids were, you know, attending school, getting ready to start high school. And so we lived in Cookeville, so we transferred to Cookeville. And started working at Prescott South. Wonderful family there. Wonderful experience. Wasn't really thinking about science and technology and math, but that's a huge push at Prescott. Learned so much about my teaching craft there and the team that I was with. I taught with a lot of wonderful teachers there, Super Cora and Lindsay Spain. And Nicole
just had Lindsay on the air a few weeks ago. She's been named one of the Middle Tennessee Teachers of the Year.
Had a wonderful teaching experience there. My children had a wonderful experience there as well with their teachers. And then I was just sort of asked to be a reading teacher at, decided, I would like to transfer to Allgood. And my children went with me and became a third grade teacher there. And I really miss my team. That is one thing about teaching in the ministry is that you have a team, but it's not. It is a real, we have a really close team at First United Methodist.
Yes, you do. But it's still compartmentalized compared to
a
bunch of teachers
together. I work really close with them, and I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But my team at Allgood Elementary is a tough team and a straightforward team. And, you know, you have to really do your job. But I like that. I love a good challenge, and I sort of thrive on change. And every year in third grade is different. It is a very big year. So I really enjoy teaching third grade. And by the end of the year, you know, after 180 days, you're exhausted and you need those breaks. But I learned a lot. I had some really good kids and some really good friends there.
So do you think the teachers are more exhausted than the students are?
A lot of the times, yes, absolutely.
I sort of get that impression too. My mother was a teacher. And
I think if you're not, you're maybe doing it wrong.
Yeah, I would think that's right. Well, this is Local Matters. We are going to take a quick break, and we will be back to talk some more with Shannon Auberson.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Shannon Auberson, the Director of Children and Family Life Ministries at First United Methodist Church. And Shannon, you were talking about being exhausted at the end of the school year, which I think most teachers are, and time for a break for both student and the teacher. But what do you think? Teachers work really hard. What's the fulfilling reason that they stay with that profession?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for all teachers, but I know in my experience and many people that I've on the teams that I've been on, it's that development of a child. You know, we are so steeped in scientific knowledge now about how their brain works and things that, you know, will help, you know, help them sustain information better and longer. And I think that's one of the reasons, you know, you can really see it, especially in third grade.
Oh, it's a big growing year, isn't it?
They develop so quickly. After December, I just tell parents, they'll be a different child when they come back in January.
Wow.
And they really are, maturity-wise. The maturation time just is like 10 times. And the other one, and I think I mentioned this before, is there's this element of community. And I know that a lot of teachers thrive on that. They need that, you know, that time to be together with their peers. And I think sometimes I feel like some schools, which I'm not, you know, don't know about all schools, but that may be some of the situations that they lack is that community, that building of a community. You know, they need to do things together as well. I know in all the schools that I've taught at, that's a huge part of just getting up in the morning and knowing, you know, you have these people that you work with that you really enjoy being with.
And it makes a difference to have that community.
It
you
really
look
does.
Forward to going to,
yes.
to be part of it. And yet they are different. Prescott
yeah.
is a STEM campus.
Absolutely.
And so it's a different community than
yep.
all good would be.
And I like that, though. And I have always said, which a lot of my teaching peers have said, is that one size does not fit all. And I think teachers throughout the years have always said that, and they're always waving that flag. Please don't make us all do the exact same thing because we're not all the same. You know, even in the same town, every school has its own community. And I know that the principals in this town are in Cookeville are very adamant about that. They're wonderful to speak out and say, we all have different groups of people here. You know,
sure.
we have to serve those that are in our system in our school.
Right.
Which I think is such a treasure. I mean, that's such a jewel, right, is to have so many different.
I agree.
I mean, isn't that why Tennessee was called
yeah.
Athens of the South? Because
yes.
we're all so diverse and so many different groups.
And Putnam County has certainly seen changing demographics in the last 20 years.
I love that. And it's one of the reasons why I love my children being able to write, being, you know, grow up here and see such a diverse group of people. I mean, when you grow up in a small town, you realize,
right.
oh, I did, and my husband did. There's a lot of different people out there in the world, and I want my children to, you know.
Yeah, even
that.
At Tennessee Tech,
yes.
I would tell my graduate students, you're not going to work in a community if you go to Seattle, to Boeing, where a lot of our students went, or to Texas or anywhere. That's not the community that you're probably most familiar with. Now's the chance to begin yeah. to familiarize yourself and understand it.
Yeah.
So
I love that about, I know we're going to get off the subject here, but I love that when you spoke to our confirmation class about the history of First United Methodist Church having a connection to Tennessee Tech, I love that you said that it was, you know, the whole purpose of Tennessee Tech was to help those who only had like a certain year of schooling
right.
years
yeah.
ago when it was first. What was it? Was it
yeah.
Dixie
Jerry,
College?
Jerry Whitson
yeah.
and others started
yeah.
Dixie College.
Well, I thought in myself, I thought, oh, that's like me. I mean, I came from this small town and I could have, you know, gone anywhere. But, you know, here's this opportunity. I'm still close to home, you know, and, you know, I'm still used to this. I only graduated with 60 kids, you know. And so, you know, these faces here are familiar. You know, I'd still see people that I grew up with
yeah.
from Livingston or York. So that helped, you know. And I see that, you know, all these people from all over the world, you know, the international department, like that was shocking at first, but it was wonderful. You know, it's like this total difference, you know, like, oh, that's so great. I get to learn from all these different people. So, I just love that you had, you know, added that to the conversation.
Well, good.
That back up
good.
At me.
Well, this is Local Matters. We are talking, about Sunday school and church education and all kinds of things like that. But we're talking to a very experienced public teacher, too. So our education matters are going a bunch of different directions. Shannon, let's talk a bit about the importance of reading, elementary all the way up through college. But your focus is elementary children now. So
yeah.
talk a little bit about why reading is so important.
Oh, gosh, where should I begin? I've always said I have this little plaque on my desk that I had for years. It said, richer than me, you can never be. I had a mother that read to me. And wow. I think that's so important for parents to model that. When a child sees that, that's just a sign immediately. Oh, this is important. If my peer or my mentor, which is my parent, is doing this, this must be important. So I always would push for parents to read, even if it's the newspaper. I know a lot of people don't take the newspaper anymore.
But it doesn't matter so much what it is.
Just something.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people have, you know, an iPod now or an iPad or their phone. If you're reading something, great. That's wonderful. I may not agree with what you're reading with.
That's right.
But they see the importance of it, not just streaming through, you know, somebody's post on Facebook.
That's not reading.
Right. Yeah. Like I want that to be like, you know, an article, and then you're talking about it. You know, even if you have like tabletop cards, you know, and you're talking and discussing the hows and whys and what's and where is this happening. So important. And that from there, that leads to the most important piece, which is left off of the table so often, is writing. And you know that. We've talked about that.
Go hand in glove, don't they? It's part of the same process.
Peanut butter and jelly, you can't have one without the other. And if you do, it's just not the same. And that is so difficult because so many people will say, you know, I don't like to write. I'm like, but almost everything that you probably love starts with writing. A movie, a script for a movie, a musical, songs. I mean, the greatest songwriter, Dolly Parton, she says that's her love, her passion is writing.
And she founded the Imagination Library and just believes that reading is so important.
If anything, you know, she says if she, you know, leaves this earth, that's what she wants to be remembered by, is actually inspiring people to read, books in people's hands, kids' hands. But then I think she knew what she was doing because I've heard her say that it was so important for her to do that because of her dad. Because he did not know how to read, but that actually puts a book in a parent's hand too.
That's right.
How important is that? Like just to see that book, it comes with the child's name, but they immediately hand it to the adult and say, read this to me. Oh,
wow.
What a wonderful request, right? I'm like, anytime that happens, I'm like, absolutely, let's stop what we're doing and read. So I could go on for days about how important it is. And I really like would love to do more in our community and with reading, and that's so important in what I'm doing now in our faith journey. It's, you know, stopping and just being still and, you know, reading scripture and listening for that call and that voice. You know, some kids are still like, what do you mean? You know, what does that mean? I'm like, well, you really have to be still sometimes to, you know, be able to hear what is it? What's your purpose? You know, and how can you be a servant? You know, how can you be a disciple of Jesus Christ? It's little things, you know, it could just be little things. It could be big things, you know. And I've seen some kids in our confirmation class, I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know, you are going to do big. That group, the whole group, you know, I'm just like, they're going to do big things. And it just, it gives me such hope. And I think that's.
I agree. And you can see that even in the early elementary school. Absolutely. You can see that glimmer of hope that.
Yes.
And for some of these children, some of their home environments aren't always that stellar. And school and Sunday school are places they can go and get in a different kind of community, isn't it?
Yeah, and it feels you. They're so busy. I think one of your things that we talked about before you'd ask me is what are children's, what's the concern of theirs? And I tried to think, you know, I heard. Our church is doing a big push on understanding the Enneagram.
Mm-hmm.
And Suzanne Stabile has a wonderful podcast if anybody out there wants to learn any more about it. But I think she had quoted Thomas Merton as saying, you know, that there are all these sins, you know, that all the sins that we have known since we were little, we learned about them in Sunday school. But he had said that the number one new one that's going to come is hurriedness.
Yeah.
And I think
believe
we're here.
That.
I think it's here.
Yes.
And it scares me.
We have such time pressure on us.
And I think sometimes I think children think that's a normalcy, like that's the norm. And I try so hard just to say, slow down.
Just take a break. Yeah. Yes. We're going to have you back at some time and talk about technology and multimedia and how that affects reading and all kinds of other things. But this has been Local Matters, and we have been talking to Shannon Alberson, who is director of children's ministries and family ministries at First United Methodist Church in Cookeville. Shannon, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Bell. It's been wonderful. I'm so glad you thought of me.
It's been a fun program. Thank you.